Hello and welcome to the Weird Things Podcast. I'm Intermean, joined by Brian Brushwood.
Ahoy, ahoy.
And Justin Robert Young.
Hey, friends.
Do you hear that sound, gentlemen?
What's that sound?
That is the sound of acceleration.
Ooh. Are you talking about the singularity getting even nearer?
Well, what?
Okay, Kurzweil, you know, he's always talking about the singularity getting near and nearer. Well, is it nearer?
Well, it's been this week in the most amazing, crazy week in the last 10 years of AI, which is now every week, we've had some very, very big developments. One of them is there is a Chinese model we talked about before. DeepSeek had their DeepSeek V3 model, which is a very capable model. They did some really amazing techniques to improve the speed up and all of that. Absolutely will not talk about anything political in China, as can be expected. Very likely did train on top of billions of tokens from Foundation Frontier models, which is kind of that aside, great model. And there's this debate right now where some people are like, it trained on top of these. And people are like, you just hate that this model's leading. It's like, well, I think it's amazing what they've done. But also we can't pretend that when you ask it what model you are or how to use your API, it actually uses the exact same HTML from GPT-4, which
implies
it's more than just scraping my opinion, but it doesn't explain all the other achievements there. So there's this weird sort of, you know, it's kind of schism in the AI community where
just in case somebody just wandered in the conversation, as I understand it, and this is, I love these moments where I get to just make sure I'm holding it right in my head. This is a free and open model that everyone can use. Yes. And the reason people are breathless and excited about it is because it seems advanced and very lightweight. And the complicating thing is it also seems an awful lot like it was just leapfrogging based on all of the horsepower of OpenAI.
So, yeah, two things. There's two models. So we had V3, now R1, which is their reasoning model. And R1, like, people are going crazy. It seems like incredibly capable. You don't have to pay the $200 tier at OpenAI if you were just trying to get a really, you know, a lot of access to reasoning systems. It seems to be like a very, very incredible development there. And so, yeah, those are things that have people excited about it right now, because these are MIT license, which means anybody can do it, coming from the Chinese company DeepSeek, which has got a very, very murky sort of thing. Like, people are like, because it's owned by like a hedge fund, and be like, it's just a side project. Like, well, might be more to it, but it's not again, the technical achievements are amazing. And I say this to people like, you're just upset. I'm like, no, like, everything I said is technically true.
Well, but I mean, we just that want to be realistic and understand exactly where the state of play is that, you know, it is the sign of an extraordinarily promising industry that this soon into its popular adoption, we have such tribalism and it is fomenting on familiar lines. It open source versus closed source. You know, this is probably the biggest, most exciting moment in open source technology in my lifetime, easily, probably ever. I mean, if you're going to really look at it, that being said, it's like, you should also understand exactly what's happening. Like, because especially in an open source world, you want to be realistic about what it is so you can apply it.
Yeah. So there's a lot of things at play here. Meta had really kicked open the door with their models, the Llama models, and they're very good. Like, you can run these things. And then there's all sorts of techniques. People have been taking the R1 and the V3 models and distilling them down. Of course, lurking in the background, though, has been, you know, it's not like OpenAI has been sitting still. OpenAI did a preview of O3 and then O3 Mini, which they're going to make widely available. It keeps continuing on. So the thing I was really excited about, I think the R1 stuff, I think those technical achievements are really interesting. There are some really good engineering things they did there to get way more efficient with how these models are trained. And it's been a thing I've been advising people for years is don't assume that controlling pure compute is enough to have an advantage over the Chinese, because far less time has been spent making these things more efficient than people realize. We've often just done what worked. We kind of did what worked with GPT-3 to GPT-4 other, but then you have models like GPT-4.0 Mini, which is incredibly efficient and kind of got into a game where Anthropic didn't even want to compete with. But I'm not here to talk about that.
Oh.
Operator.
Oh, Do you need an exit?
Operator, Brian.
Oh, sorry. You're talking about the OpenAI new operator. I thought you were making a Matrix reference and you needed an exit because agents were chasing you.
Damn. A common misconception. That's a very common thing.
That used to be the shorthand when we were doing a gig. Like if either I or CJ Johnson called each other and the first thing that we said was I need an operator. Then the other person knew that, if you were at a computer, whatever it is you're doing could wait because you needed an operator right now to save a gig or, you know, to tell you where the fuel is or whatever.
Yeah. So operator is the OpenAI's entry into the agent controlling a browser. And so we've talked about this before, how the next paradigm post ChatGPT is going to be a chat bot that controls a browser. And there have been other tools out there. People have been building stuff. Google has Project Mariner. There's versions of this, but you know, it's not necessarily being the first. And there's things going back 4 or 5 years of people trying to build tools like this. You know, I built my AI channels in 2020, which looked a lot like ChatGPT and stuff. But it was, you know, it just didn't have the same model capabilities, other stuff, but you could see where the path has been going. And people have been talking about for years, having a AI that can control the browser and do work in a browser is super useful. And that's why there are several companies that started up to build a thing around this idea. But OpenAI just dropped their own operator, which is my opinion, the most polished, smooth, least brittle version of this that I have used, and it's open to all O1, all pro subscribers. I'm sure it'll be going out more wider after that. And it's been, you know, imagine ChatGPT controlling a browser that can go log in and go do stuff. And I've been doing things like having it go into, you know, my Google Docs and asking it to do things like, hey, can you, you know, create a new CSV file for me? This, can you go into Notion? It went into Notion and it was able to go into Notion and like create entire tables, do searches, do all this kinds of stuff. So it's not just it doing web browsing, it's working with web tools.
How do I play with that? Because I only saw that it was announced today. Under the model, I noticed that there's a new GPT-4o with scheduled tasks and I don't see it in here. Maybe I don't have it.
What's pro? So it's in the, if you have the,
oh, it is in pro.
And you go to operator.chatgpt.com.
Okay.
Hold yeah. on. I just want to send you guys something in our group text here. This is a meme I just made, or rather, operator just made when asked to make a meme about Andrew talking about OpenAI while Brian is shocked. And it totally by itself went to the distracted girlfriend meme and added OpenAI as the attractive girl, Andrew as the distracted boyfriend, and Brian as the shocked girlfriend.
That's amazing.
That's wild, dude.
Make a meme of the Weird Things podcast yet again talking about AI. And so with that, it has opened it up its own browser. It's got a little window that says operator browser. And I guess we're watching a screen grab of it actually go through stuff. That's incredible.
So the way it's working, Bing? Right, Andrew, is that it's navigating and then taking pictures and then reasoning out what the next step should be.
Yeah. So yeah, it has a cloud. It has a browser in the cloud, and as Justin just said, it's basically a model trained to be able to work with this. But it says it grabs an image, knows, looks where it needs to do, moves the mouse there, clicks, looks at the next image, then decides what to do next.
Yeah, it's currently going with, it looks like, exasperated owl. That's amazing. It says clicking caption this meme now. And so it's going through image flip. Holy moly. When the Weird Things podcast.
yeah, so...
talks about AI yet again.
That's covering up the owl's eyes. We'll see if it realizes that. But
it says, would you like me to proceed with generating and downloading this meme? Maybe I could say yes, but frame it better. I'm going to bet it can figure out what that means. Because it's going to have to analyze my prompt of frame it better.
Yeah, we're at this interesting space where we're going to see it do some things really well and some things completely fall flat on its face. But the thing is that is where these things improve a lot, where a couple years ago we talked about how derpy ChatGPT would be, and now people write business letters and other kinds of communications with it and wouldn't think not to. And because they know, well, let me read it first and check to make sure that it's fine. And the number of people, more people are using this stuff today than a year ago. They did not get tired of it, decide it was a fad. I was putting a thing about operator and said, like, this is a ChatGPT moment. I might be like, well, I don't know. I'm like, well, listen, I don't know. I don't know for sure, but
I'll say this. If this is the minimum viable product,
it's already extraordinary.
Jesus.
Yeah. Well, I mean, think about it. We in so many ways, Justin, I feel like you and I and are coming up on 20-year experience with dealing with kind of real-time access to a hive mind of enthusiastic demon hordes of the internet. It's by the time, you know, we would make a joke and then by the end of the episode, there would be an incredible number of memes made about it. Yeah. Now everyone has that power, which again, I can't stop thinking two steps ahead because now I'm thinking, I wonder if that means those memes lose stock because they're so easy to make. By the way, we now have a frustrated Janeway looking down on the bridge and it says, when the Weird Things podcast talks about AI yet again. That's amazing.
Get topics of the last 10 episodes of Weird Things podcast and suggest something new. So again, what's cool is that, like, if you want to use your Google Docs, every now and then, let's say it comes across a CAPTCHA or login, you get control of the browser and then you take control of it and you do your login, you do that, and then it goes back into it and it can save that between sessions. You can also write your own custom instructions for it, like ChatGPT, where you can tell it, hey, these are the sites I like, this is where I prefer to go, this is what I need you to do, et cetera, which is very exciting. So, you know, like I said, Google has Project Mariner. There's an API tool that Anthropic has, which is cool, but a lot of people realize how much compute it used and how expensive it was. What's cool about this is it's, you know, if you are on the, you know, pro tier right now, you just get it. You just get access to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Downstream thing that has nothing to do with AI. This totally wrecks. I mean, not to say that internet traffic metrics were ever something that you should really hang your hat on, but we're entering into a world where that is something that we will think about less and less and less the more that we have agentic browsers that are just constantly searching for things, right?
Yep. All of a sudden all the numbers are BS.
Which on one hand, it's like that's the easy thing is like, welcome to the party, pal. But on the other hand, I do think that there is that this is a step forward on that.
Yeah. As somebody who gets Cloudflare notifications every time there's a lot of downloads from weirdthings.com or sits there and has launched websites with like pretty standard kind of URLs, not advertised them anywhere, and within minutes see a bot go through there and try to find out like what's on there and try to search the directory and stuff. These things are out there. I mean, what's kind of cool now too, though, is that the idea that I'm excited about these tools because now I can afford my own private security system that can go in there and do a lot of cool stuff, because a lot of exploits are dumb exploits that you just don't have the attention to pay attention to. And, you know, the CrowdStrike, you know, fumble that took down, you know, half the, you know, Windows computers, et cetera, was an empty update. That, man, I would love to just have a smart system here. So we're getting a really cool example, though, of like, I'm watching it right now, go through the OpenAI, the weirdthings.com webpage, grabbing, looking at all of our topics. I said, get the topics of the last 10 episodes and suggest something new. It's reading the page. It's reading the page. And then it's going to like maybe suggest something. And the biggest thing right now is it's slow. These things are very slow. But they're going to get really fast, really quick, because with a lot of data, you can then take a large model and then distill it down into a smaller model or have it switch off and hand off.
Can I ask you something, Andrew, about the DeepSeek thing? That obviously what seems to be the case as the frontier models move forward, you have seen a lot of these open source models begin to demonstrate similar capabilities fairly quickly, right? And we're in a pace of really explosive growth on all fronts of the AI field. But let's say that OpenAI did not release a new model for 3 years. Do you think that open source models would overtake it, or that the frontier models are moving at a certain pace and it is the role of the open source models to optimize and get better on the things that they have already kind of excavated?
I mean, there's so many clever people. Meta is increasing the number of people working on open source. The group that was hit the hardest with DeepSeek wasn't OpenAI. Like OpenAI is the leading one to commercialize and actually deploy these things. Most the average OpenAI ChatGPT customer just wants to know the thing works.
Yes.
When they hear there's a new model, they'll be excited, et cetera. But they're excited about, and there's other stuff that came out today. They added Canvas, they added HTML to Canvas, which is similar to what Anthropic has with Claude, where you can now create a website inside of ChatGPT and then download and deploy the code, which is amazing and awesome. Their core research team has expanded a bit, but they've really been expanding the number of developers and people that were building out applications on top of this. You know, once upon a time, you know, it was me and, you know, there was the engineering team building stuff, but there really wasn't even a team to go build. You know, we had great people who were building the API interface and stuff like this, but there wasn't, you know, I was the first person internally to like get the system working on an iPhone, because there just wasn't in the scope. But now they have the best designers and people in the world coming from other places to work there to do that kind of stuff, instead of a chimpanzee who's like, oh, I'll try it. So what would happen if they slowed down model development? I think that we're on a path where Meta has money to throw into open source stuff.
What happens? What do you got? I just uploaded my own album art and then asked, where is this from? And it found my Substack page.
Yeah, that's amazing. You know what? Here's one. Find the most recent image of Justin Robert Young. I'll say the very most recent. What would be amazing is if it comes up with this program.
Yeah, right. He's currently live streaming.
I think there's going to be an interest too. And, you know, Justin, you mentioned a thing too. How does this change the dynamics of this? As point out how bots go over it, all over it. But certainly, yeah, ad models, like some sites you can't go to because they've shut themselves off to advertising to bots. Yeah. But you might say, okay, here's go to, you know, agent dot this thing and pay a little toll fee. You know, and then you get access. That would be a smart thing, would be basically to have, you know, create a version of it that's like, if you're a human, look in your eyes and we can throw ads at you, fine. If you're a bot, then go use
then
this.
Pay a little change on the way in and out. I mean, look, this is the, would that it were so simple. I desperately hope and pray that there are top flight newsrooms that realize this is a boon to getting information out. I, you know, absolute pros. I don't suspect it is. I am pessimistic, but I hope. I've taken a lot of dumb pictures on the internet. Holy moly.
I wasn't going to say anything. But definitely the favorite images seem to be wacky face Justin.
Wacky faces for the boy.
I'm trying something. So another thing they added was Canvas, which is able to do so now you can just create, like I said, you can run code and stuff, HTML and stuff. So next messaging conversation between spies. So I'm going to give a little thing to try here. I would say that this was a lot of stuff that happened, and particularly looking at all this has been insane to see how much rapidly developed. And I think we're all trying to fit our brains around this because we've just been thrown into our lap an incredible new tool, like literally go do this thing in the background. Like I watched it with Notion, go into Notion, create a database, do searches on databases and do this stuff. And granted, sometimes it didn't work perfectly. Sometimes I had to intervene a lot. But it worked well enough for me to go, oh man, next time I think I have it. I asked it to go find all my books and put it into a spreadsheet. It did that. And I said, grab the links to all the books. It did that.
I don't know. All I want to do is speculate wildly at this point. It's really fascinating to watch all of humanity understand that. I mean, turns out, Andrew, you were not joking when you're like, AI development is a generational intellectual leap on the same level as fire, because I'm sure certain that when fire first happened, people are like, this seems really great. I wonder what we can use it for. And then like, that's the hard part, is figuring out how to later conceive of F1 racing or something, you know?
The cool thing is you can now ask fire, what do I use you for?
Yeah.
Oh, dude. Yeah. Right.
That is advice I've given to so many people where I'm going to keep hammering on it because it's a gift I want to give everyone. Remember that every single category, no matter where you are, no matter what you do, there is a slot waiting for you called the world's foremost AI expert in blank. And blank is whatever it is you do. And if you don't know how to become that expert, ask AI. It will tell you.
I want you to create. I'm using Canvas with HTML. Create an HTML website for weird things. News. Use. Make it tabloidy. We'll see what happens here. So now I'm using the Canvas feature, which basically what it'll do is it'll generate the HTML, and then I can click preview and it'll let me see what it's doing. And this is using the O1 model, which is kind of, you know, really, really cool. And we're getting the O3 model coming out soon, which is going to be really, really fast and capable. And let's see, I'm going to go to preview.
Holy shoot.
That's pretty fast.
Use HTTP. I have a special URL I use to create images.
Oh, so you're telling it to use your other AI powered invention to
create. So I have for our listeners here.
Oh, so you just made a seed image for that.
Yeah. So I have a thing I created, which is a URL I use that I just use the prompt for an image in the URL and it will generate it. So it makes it very easy when I want to work with AI systems and all that. But this certainly created a very tabloid style.
I mean, like an old tabloid, like that.
Yeah, exactly. This is a crappy. Yeah. Let's see what happens here.
This is like before Matt Drudge died.
Wait, did Matt Drudge die?
Based on the website, I'd assume.
Oh. Whoops.
Okay. Use actual image descriptions. In the image URL. See how smart it is to figure this out. So yeah, this is a great.
Meanwhile, still it's sniffing around C-SPAN, but it keeps on just finding the same image of Justin.
Mm. Yeah, it can get trapped in its sort of local minima. You know, sometimes you can just break in and say, hey, send another message. Say, hey, try this.
To be clippy and say, it looks like you're getting caught in a loop. Can I help you? Oh, that's interesting. So it found Instagram and now it's hit the login for Instagram. And now it's just sitting here.
You can go in and is it telling you to take control?
No, it is. It treats that like a stub and it backs out and goes somewhere else. I wonder if it will figure out to, how to subvert, work around that wall. Oh, Dr. Chiron says, ask it to create an Instagram account for itself to use. What's that?
Yeah,
I might run into I'll tell you what though, I would love. I mean, this is I've mentioned this before. This was one of the early examples that I gave about agentic work, but like I would love to hand it my credentials to all of my social media and have it just hit me, two times a day with a summary.
So question. Do we think about having special accounts now for agents? Like, do I create a special email account for an agent that has certain privileges and stuff?
Give me an example.
I mean, I assume where it's like you wouldn't want to just hand it the keys to your actual accounts in life or whatever, but an agent. I don't know, whatever happens here, Brian didn't directly do it himself, though it may have come from a suggestion from Brian or something.
Yeah, I don't know. For the record, I would like to give it all. I would like to give it my bank information today.
Yeah.
Now I might be dumb, but maybe I'm not.
Well, it seems like it's finding you on Threads. And scrolling up.
So it is finding like the most recent photo of me on Threads.
Yeah, I think that as we start to build up more trust, we'll feel more comfortable doing those things.
I would say it's like ideally, especially for things that are like related to major reputational stuff or financial stuff, you would want some kind of large language model that you could kind of see from stem to stern on that had a minimal relationship with the cloud. This is where I think Apple can lead the way if they get their head out of their butt. But I don't know, for like my socials and stuff like that, I think everything that I would want it to do from a level of being just a social media intern operator can do right now, technically. It's just a matter of whether or not it would allow it. I mean, between what operator can do and what tasks can do, that's it. That's the entire, like, it's got all the skills. It's just a matter of putting it together.
Yeah. You know, we've talked about this before, that part of it, what it is the gluing the things together. And I'd had a conversation with a friend the other day about how kind of this moment where we're at was somewhat predictable, with the fact that if you looked at how capable GPT-4 was, if you look at its ability to fix its mistakes, et cetera, that you would get to a point where you could just kind of have it recursively go back over what it was doing and be able to do things like it does now with the reasoning, et cetera. You talk about tasks, you talk about this, you know, and now you're in a position where you start to figure out how to get these things to play nice and have the model understand the difference between this. And then you're going to get to just a high rate of acceleration. The biggest limitation is our ability to understand how to use these tools.
Yes. And that's the fun part, is now we're back at the beginning of the internet, right? Where we have just a gigantic pile of clay in front of us. And we've seen what we've built over the last 30 years.
But I think we have to think too, it's kind of like, you know, how
do my Lord, did it really find that?
No, I gave it, used it my prompt. Oh, which one are you looking at?
No, I'm looking at Brian. That is a photo from Tuesday.
It's trying to download it, and it briefly considered installing the Threads app, and it doesn't. It says your organization doesn't allow you to download from Threads.
It found that's the most recent photo that I posted on the internet.
Not bad.
Not too shizabby.
I got one for you.
It's me and Tom Lobianco.
Can you find an image of Justin Robert Young wearing a funny hat?
Yeah, probably.
But I like that we're giving it a visual challenge.
By the way,
I found a recent image. My album art. And by the way, this was not the album art that I have on the regular podcast. This is specifically for the Substack bonus episodes. And it reversed image searched and just found it. It was like the fastest possible way to figure it out. It's remarkable. I'm sure I've worn funny hats before. All the dumb mugging that I've done on the internet.
Oh yeah,
there's 40th birthday.
Found hats. Found you with hats. This is going beyond just search for a thing. It's you've got to see it. Oh, that's not you. All right, just going to share with you, by the way, I got my new Weird Things front page working now with our funny.
Wow.
Got the swirler working, et cetera. So there you go.
That's amazing.
Meanwhile, back to Justin finding funny hats. This is kind of crazy. We're literally watching a search for it, like literally our slowest intern ever.
I mean, at least it's being deliberate and making moves that make sense. I just gave it a different task. That's interesting. It's asking for locations. I said, calculate the shortest route between Justin Robert Young, Andrew Main, and Brian Brushwood. It says, I can't calculate the shortest route between individuals. If you tell me where they are, I can help with directions or routes. I'll just say, find out where they are. We'll see if that one gets me in trouble.
Now we can see its thought here too, navigating, refining, correcting text in search query. This is kind of fascinating because we're just watching it try to go and probably just said it should have said find him wearing a hat, but
yeah, has to get a big enough data set to know whether or not the hat is funny.
Yeah, I mean we're in Pong days right now. So, folks, I know it's probably not the most highly entertaining episode here, but we are.
Holy cow. Neither is being there to watch apes marvel at fire.
Yeah. So now it's going to use Google search.
That's interesting because I wonder what kind of browser preferences it has or search engine preferences because it did Bing over on this side.
Yeah, it'll use Bing as long as Bing's useful. Yeah, now we're getting, I mean, this is kind of crazy. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm amazed watching it go through and do a search like an intern that probably I should have given it some more specificity and just say, any hat is fine. Any hat's okay. But that it's refining. But
it is making a judgment on silly.
Yeah.
Run and search for funny hat images.
Yeah. So let's start talking about how do you plan on using these tools?
Well, to be honest, I read the news headline this morning and I literally kind of had a short circuit moment where, because the examples it gave, you know, sensible stuff like, you know, book a reservation at a hotel or what have you, or find me a 4-star restaurant in a whatever. They're, I guess the most interesting leaps are the ones that it's the least reliably going to be able to make. And the only way to find out how far the reach is to try, you know. Well, here, you know what? I'm going to do this. Make a chatbot. Make a chatbot of Justin Robert Young. Let's see what it says to that.
I guess that's operator or Canvas?
Operator.
Curious. Yeah, if you go into Canvas, open it as ChatGPT Canvas, it'll create stuff. Get any hat.
Make a temp make a simple melody that spells a word. I'll be interested to see what it comes up with that. I'm unable to create or share melodies. Here we go. Create a movie with Sora.
There we go. We found our favorite picture of Justin, but doesn't have a funny hat.
Yeah. I think I saw something online saying that ChatGPT or that OpenAI has blocked operator from using other ChatGPT.
Yeah, if you go in there, it goes, yeah, we see what you're trying to do there.
Interesting.
It's like, please be free, take over the internet.
That's crazy.
So I do think that we're going to think about like what changes would work, what changes the way that we function about stuff, because I think about now how I would divide up tasks or labor, you know, in that, what does it mean, you know, when I need to get a thing done, what does it mean when you can just have infinite number of, you know, AI search tools running in the background doing stuff. I could have a chat. I already have tasks that find articles for me, and I could have one that could write the show. But now I'm getting to the point where I could have a tool that could edit the show.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's something where, you know, right now I would look at this as what I really wanted to do is to just interact with things that I have. I want to point it like at my email. I want to point it at my social media, and I want it to be able to interact with it. Which I'm sure is coming.
Well, and that will be the big leap that is going to require the most mother may I cautious privilege access.
Yeah.
especially, and this is me speculating from the outside, as I'm sure Andrew is as well. I would imagine, by all indications, OpenAI was very surprised at how many people showed up with no substantial change to access to ChatGPT, just simply a interface ease of use to press a button. I would imagine that they're very hesitant to make it easy to do anything that could be used for fraud or to mismanage something
Yeah, 100%. That's been one of the biggest things why we haven't seen these things sooner is that they have to put in a lot of these safeguards. And it's also kind of one of the differences between the way OpenAI operates and certain kind of like open source, because you throw out an open source model and you can say, hey, whatever you do with it, you kind of do with it. And it's not an argument against open source at all. But when people are using your API going through your service to go do it, you know, give you an example of that was there was Luther was the goal. After GPT-3 launched, there was this effort to create an open source version of GPT-3, and the Luther AI project came out. And they came out with a few different models, GPT-J, GPT-Neo, et cetera. And these were pretty cool, capable systems that did a lot of, you know, neat things. And immediately they were being, not immediately, but pretty quickly started getting used by defense contractors. Yeah. We're like, cool. Now we can tell people, because OpenAI didn't make it easy to use it for those kinds of applications, but defense contractors are like, cool. Now we can tell our clients that we have our own flavor of a GPT level model in there. And the people at Eleuther were probably caught off guard by this. And sometimes I know somebody, one case, who pointed this out to somebody there and they were upset. They're like, don't talk about that. It was like, that was the reaction. It's like, no, that's a reality. It doesn't mean you, if you can't stick your fingers in here and go, nah, and pretend that doesn't happen. You just have to, you know, understand that's a consequence.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's no going back in the bottle for the genie. Like,
no.
That
no.
we're here now, and we have to understand that there's going to be a different level of threat assessment if you are worried about bad actors doing bad things. But at the same time, if we are at the point where it's just time to go, then let's at least get the benefits out of it. Like, let's unleash this stuff.
By the way, what did we find? Operator found. I found an image of Justin Roiland Young wearing a winter hat in a tweet from January 19th.
That was this weekend in DC in a godforsaken snowstorm.
Can you find me a GIF to express my astonishment with AI tool use? So I think the way to think about this now for people out there is that having the technical understanding of how these things work under the hood can certainly be helpful, but it's not the most essential skill. The most essential skill is to understand how to apply these things together, how to use these tools, how to look at a workflow, how to walk into Brian's office and say, how could we apply this here? You know, how can, you know, Justin, and we're all going to be thinking about this saying, okay, it's beyond a toy. It's got utility. And it took a while for ChatGPT to sink in.
Yeah. I mean, there is still, I would say, a significant majority of people I'd like to believe that we're pretty close to the bleeding edge here. And we still weekly are, even just between the three of us, there are information inefficiencies where one or two of us know that this is an obvious use for ChatGPT, that the third one is constantly like, oh, you can?
Oh yeah, I've encouraged all of my friends and given them, you know, gift subscriptions to these things, because not out of kindness of my own heart, but because I want them to go, I found this really cool thing, and then I
you should be doing it. Yeah,
well, and that is one of those valuable things where it's like, what's the old saying? In the beginner's mind, there are many possibilities. In the expert's mind, there are very few. Like, when you don't know what you can and can't do, or what the thing can and can't do, that's rad, because you try a bunch of crazy stuff and it doesn't always pay off, but when it does, pretty cool.
Yeah. So I'm going to be hammered on this pretty hard over the next few days. Well, maybe for the rest of my life, about all the different capabilities. I might be doing a live stream. This won't be useful for all your listeners here, but after you listen to this, there may be a recording of a live stream I'm going to do with Brett Rounceville as we go through some of the interesting operator use cases.
I think that's a great idea.
Very cool.
Let's just jump into picks.
My pick is operator.
Yeah, man. When you wake up and discover the most interesting thing on the planet happens, that becomes your pick.
So, and I just want to side note too, because back when they did the $200 subscription in, you know, when they in opening announced that.
Dear listeners, originally Andrew absolutely called it from the beginning, where they're all like, "Oh shucks, who'd like a lot more tokens? $200 a month." And Andrew's like, "Already a bargain. I bet there's more." And then they just kept dropping value.
And no inside. No, it wasn't like I talked to my friends. I talked to Sam. I talked to my friends. I go out of my way to avoid, by the way, I don't want to be the guy like, "Hey, tell me what's going on with here."
Oh God. No. That is, culturally, I think all three of us are aware, but we'll bring in the listeners. That would be so gauche. Like, there's nothing weirder than somebody who's supposed to be a performer and a talent peer, talking like a fan, like, that awkwardness radiates. And so, I would imagine it's the same thing in informational circles with AI development.
Yeah. I mean, I'm obviously a fan, but I mean, I'm more like, I don't like, you know, my colleague, Natalie, was chief of staff for the Sora project. And I never asked her for access. I just never said, "Can you give me this thing?" Because I think it's super cool, but I also know, like, I'm not going to spend enough time on that to be super valuable to her.
Only way you would ask is if you could commit your time and energy and resources, yes, for it to be a gift to her for you to do that.
Exactly, Brian. Yeah. And so there's other things. I said, "Hey, I heard this. Let me know what this, I'll give you my feedback on it." So I'm always very careful about this. And so, but yeah, I don't have like, I have, you know, I get a lot of instincts on stuff too, because I know that they like to over deliver on stuff. And I know that they put out that $200 price point on, "We're going to do this. We'll do this." Sam said in the announcement, there's going to be more agents coming out. You know, we're going to have more things, and we'll see. You know, you think of that ecosystem right now, you've got a 1-800 ChatGPT number you can call. You've got an app, you've got an operator, you've got a video generator, and there is a big plan to how these things kind of all fit.
That's amazing. All right. Well, let's all get back to mindlessly typing into operator.
Yeah.
It's been weird.